With the Successful Life
Talk Radio.
We're going to be talking Successful Life Podcast with Chris Partridge, linebacker coach, special teams coordinator at Michigan. He'll be calling in a couple minutes with us. For all you athletes that are out there, just give you guys a great background on Coach. Coach started out as a high school coach at Paramus Catholic High School, built them into a major power, one of the guys that you would know real well. That's going to be drafted probably in the first, at least the first two rounds, but could go as high as top 15 pick in the NFL is Jabril Peppers. So we'll have Coach on shortly to discuss, his rise into the college ranks now with Michigan, where he's a special teams coordinator. He's also known as one of the top recruiting coordinators in the country. So we'll have Coach on in a little bit. About that, so it's going to be pretty cool to have Coach on. We should be having him on in any minute. A real quick background again for those of you guys who are coming on the podcast live. Coach Partridge coached in college for a little while before he stepped away from the college ranks. Played his football, I believe, at Lafayette, and we'll let him talk about that. But then took over Paramus Catholic High School, where he turned Paramus Catholic into a national power, led by one of the star players that he just had at Michigan, Jabril Peppers, among many other Division I players that he had there. Took them into a place, Paramus Catholic, those of you guys don't know, New Jersey was, everybody knows about the parochial schools, was one of the lesser of the top tier parochial schools. He turned them into the top tier of the top tier parochial schools into a national power. Now is the special teams coordinator and linebacker coach at Michigan, also known as one of the top recruiters in the country. Without further ado, let me bring on Coach Partridge. Coach, how's everything going?
Pretty good, man. How you doing?
Good, good, good. I'm glad to get you on and talk a little bit of football. I'm sure you talk it all day long, so there's nothing better for you than talking that.
It's all good, man. I appreciate you having me.
Like I said, I give a little bit of backdrop, I want the people to really know your background, because I know that you were in college. I remember back when I was the head coach of Saddlebrook High School, you were, I want to say, at the Citadel, maybe as a GA or as assistant coach, and then you stepped away briefly from coaching and then took over Paramus Catholic, turned into a power, and obviously now you're doing some amazing things at Michigan. Give everybody a little bit of your background.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. So I was at the Citadel. I had I graduated from Lafayette and I went back there to coach after graduation, and was there for a year working with the defensive backs and kind of same coaching staff that had coached me, and then after a year, I had the opportunity to go down to the Citadel. A guy by the name of Kevin Higgins took the head job down there, and he had been the coach of Lehigh when I played at Lafayette, so I kind of knew him through, I guess, playing against him. Obviously, Lafayette-Lehigh, a big rivalry, so had the opportunity to go down there and coach, work with the D-line. Which is awesome, great experience, and stepped away from football from there. Well, not necessarily stepped away, but I went into the business world there as a kind of a capital markets technology recruiter for a couple of years. But at that time, I was actually coaching Westwood youth football, which was an awesome, awesome thing. And it's funny. It's like that teaches you a lot when you got to coach the young guys, and we had a really good team, and so that was fun. But missed the kind of the higher level of coaching, and was thinking about jumping back into the high school world and still, working and running that business that I was running. And Paramus Catholic came open, and obviously that's where I played. And, so I went after the job there, and I was able to get it. I was fortunate. It was the same president that was there when I went to school there, so I was able to get that job. And, and then – about 3 months into it, I said, if I'm going to do this, I cannot, there's no way that I can do the business thing as well. And so I stepped away from the business and went full-time back into coaching and working in Paramus Catholic.
That's really
and then
cool.
And from there, came up to Michigan.
Absolutely. And you built a major powerhouse there. And those people who are not from New Jersey really changed the landscape, built such a powerhouse with so many great players at Paramus Catholic. And then obviously, moved on to Michigan. When you started coaching at Paramus Catholic, did you think that was going to one day lead to you going back to college coaching, or were you just thinking about building Paramus Catholic back into a powerhouse?
I was just mainly thinking about winning, getting them to be the program that it was when I was in high school, getting them back to that, and just, winning the moment now, and then just trying to get the kids out of there and into college. I mean, those were our main two focuses, in building that program. I didn't really think ahead at all. I wasn't thinking ahead until probably after my fourth year I started thinking about it. But early on, no, it was just let's get this thing going, let's build this thing, and let's make it the best program in the state.
Those are the coaches who are listening out there. Actually, as soon as I put it out there, I knew a lot of coaches would be interested in listen to it. What was your philosophy when taking over Paramus Catholic? It wasn't a powerhouse. It was kind of like, I guess, middle of the road. They've had some good years. They had some not so good years. What was your philosophy from a coaching standpoint, and how you were going to get it revved and rolling?
That's a good question for sure. I guess the main philosophy was just putting in the work. Is getting the guys to work and buy in to building something, and understanding it wasn't going to come, right off the bat, and it was going to take an effort, and even for the guys that were seniors there, they were going to lay the foundation and might not necessarily reap the benefits. And when I got there, I'd say there was 40 kids on the team. There was some talent, and when we started workouts, that talent kind of went away and left, and some people had transferred because they weren't used to what it was. I think the main thing that we wanted to do is we wanted kids to come to Paramus Catholic to be football players, and then fit into the school, if that makes sense. Rather than, hey, I want to go to Paramus Catholic and I'm just gonna happen to play football, we wanted to switch that mentality. We wanted guys coming in that were coming there to play football and then obviously mesh into the school and want to be a part of the school and everything like that. So we were able to, when we got in there, we just worked them really, really hard and set the tone for what was to come, and just lived with the guys that wanted to stay and wanted to be a part of it and took pride in the school and wanted to do that. And then just build from there. And then we just were able to bring in a really good class that next year right away. And that was the foundation to who we were, the guys that a couple kids had come over from Westwood that I had been coaching, got a couple kids that came over from Englewood. Westwood and Englewood were really good rivals. The 2 years of me being a junior coach, we went back and forth with Englewood. They won one, we won one, and got to know those guys and kind of built the foundation there with that first incoming class, and then they graduated as two-time state champions and went on, and a ton of those guys were able to play college football and things of that nature. So, but I guess the philosophy was, set the tone early and just know that it might not come early. It might take a while. You got to put it in perspective and just work your butt off.
I think the thing of changing the culture is obviously one of the things that most coaches, that's the biggest challenge. I dealt with it when I was at Palisades Park and changing the culture, and it's different than at Paramus Catholic, and every place is different. What are some of the things that you think are necessary for changing the culture in a program, trying to turn guys into winners when, before that, it was, people, they lost, they go, oh, it's okay, they would accept losing, or people throughout the school and say, oh, it's no big deal, this is what always happens. How do you change that culture?
I think the best way to do it, I mean, looking back really is how we did it is, you know, I don't think you can come in there, you know, day one and take over a program and say, this is how the culture is going to be. This is how we're going to do it. You know, you got to have your philosophies. You got to, you know, you got to understand and have a mindset of how you want to do it. But then you got to be able to have some wiggle room and move around and see what type of kids you're getting and what type of culture the school already has in place. And, you know, you can't destroy tradition. You got to figure out how to feed off of what tradition was there and, you know, and kind of change it that way. And that's what we were able to do. We didn't go right in and do things to change it right off the bat. You know, we kind of left it how it was in year one and just surveyed it and just made them understand what the work ethic was going to be, but then let the culture develop throughout, you know, throughout that year and into the next year and who we really wanted to become. You know, I hadn't been in North Jersey football for a while, so I needed to see the landscape and how we were going to do it. I mean, we were going against some giants, you know, Don Bosco and Bergen Catholic and St. Joe's and, you know, St. Peter's, all those guys. And so I had to kind of survey and see how we were going to be different, how we were going to attract kids, how we were going to fight, you know, fight those guys off. And but, you know, I'll tell you one thing. From day one, you know, I never for one second let it be acceptable to lose a football game or to lose one of those guys. I mean, I think I don't even remember the score, but Bosco beat us 60-something to nothing, you know, the first year. And I made sure I told those kids, this is unacceptable. This is not who we are. This is not who we're going to be. And, you know, it's not okay whether mom or dad or your uncle or anyone says, oh, they're just better. That's not okay. You want to play football here, you're gonna win, you know, and kind of set the tone there, but let the culture take care of itself throughout, you know, and that. So I think, you know, I think that is those are two important things to do is take some time in developing your identity, but at the same time, you know, set a winning culture and not let losing be acceptable.
Well, I think that flexibility and adaptability that you had, I think as a coach is a hallmark of, in my opinion, of great coaches. They have to be guys that can see what kids can do and what they can't do and adapt their coaching philosophy to what you have. And then what you obviously, as you bring in better guys, you know, you can readapt that philosophy on an ongoing basis. And that fluidity, I think, is so key. You guys had a cool, I mean, the black uniforms, the living a philosophy. Where did that come from? How did that emerge? There's been so many stories throughout Bergen County, and people throughout the country listening to this don't know about that stuff. But how did that emerge and become a thing, and kids gravitated towards it? Where did that come from?
I mean, yeah. So you know, we kind of got there, and now that I'm looking back, you know, we were kind of a power offense and, you know, cover three defense the first year, and we had the gold helmets and, you know, and then, you know, we're going against, you know, St. Joe's and Bergen had the gold helmets. Bosco was the power offense. And, you know, I just felt like there's no way we're competing with what these guys have been doing for 20 years, you know, with who they are. So we kind of just, as we started getting certain kids in, we kind of started taking the bad boy mentality. Like, you know, I just felt we had to be different. And, you know, and I don't know, my personality, I don't mind being that, you know, I didn't mind doing that. I just felt like that's the way we were going to win. We couldn't try to be them. You know, we had to be the polar opposite of those guys, you know? And so we changed our helmets to black. We went with the sleek black uniforms, you know, we went with the smoke coming out and, you know, the kids all of a sudden started like saying, wow, this is pretty cool. It's different. You know, so if you want to be different, come to Paramus Catholic, you know, and so we kind of went that route. And, you know, the living thing just kind of came about. You know, one of my best friends is, you know, played professionally for a bunch of teams. I think he had 8 years in the league, and, you know, he was home training one summer, and I started training with him, and then we just started talking about our lives and how, you know, because he went to Lafayette with me and how he's in the pros, and, you know, I said, you know, that's awesome, but what I'm doing now, I love it. You know, I wouldn't give it up, you know, for the world. And, you know, it kind of came up, well, we're both living. Well, You know, so then we took off from there. We told, you know, we talked to the team about it. You know, he gave us, I remember him giving a speech to the team about it. You know, what living is, you know, you're out here working and, you know, you're together with your team and you're going to a great school and, you know, you love each other and you're playing the best game, best sport in the world. And, you know, so you guys are all living. And then those guys, you know, kind of took that, took off with that, you know, and so it just, it kind of became our motto and, you know, and just went from there.
That's really interesting, and it just obviously caught fire, right? So, you guys really built off that. Obviously, one of the star players was Jabril Peppers, and obviously you have a great relationship with him. He's with, you know, with you at Michigan, and you know, you had Rashad Gary, who now is over at Michigan. As far as building relationships with your players, what are some of the things that, you know, at Michigan? And, you know, and the Paramus Catholic that you feel you've done that really helps players really relate to you, connect with you, want to play for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think the main thing with the players is you got to be honest with them, and it's got to be an honesty whether it's what they want to hear and or what it's not. You know, or if they don't, if it's not what they want to hear, you know, I think, you know, it's got to be the truth all the time. And I feel like some coaches kind of just tell kids what they want to hear because they don't want to deal with it, or maybe they try to get the kid in their program or whatnot. You know, I think, you know, with what I was able to tell, what I told any kid that ever went through my program or any parent that ever went through my program, nothing was ever a lie. They couldn't ever come back to me and say, that's not the truth. You lied to me. This is it. So, you know, I guess it was able to, the connection was able because all the parents out there, they knew that what I said was going to be the truth, you know. And the other thing was just, you know, when someone joined my team, I stuck up for them through and through, you know, like they were on my own blood, you know, no matter what happened. You know, we were those are my guys, and I stuck up for them, you know, good or bad or whatnot. And, you know, and I always said as I kind of grew through the fourth and fifth year, I'm sure you know how, you know, the other coaches were attacking us, and we were the bad guys and everything like that. You know, and I always tried to protect the players on the team and take the brunt on me and not care, you know, and not care what was coming at me, but protect those guys because, you know, and what was the most important thing to me is what they thought. What the parents and the kids and my coaches thought of me. And, you know, it almost became a pride thing. When more people started attacking and talking, you know, talking smack, it was almost like I enjoyed it even more. You know, as our Paramus Catholic bond grew, as our players grew and our name grew, you know, we became more and more kids and parents and fans saw the goodness of it. And so I guess, you know, I think, and that was a kind of a long-winded answer, but, you know, I just think honesty, you know, be honest, good or bad, you know, be as honest as you can at all times, and, you know, and then just fight for your players, you know, and hold them accountable. You know, kids, nowadays, you can't trick a 16, 17, 18-year-old kid, you know, so if one of their teammates is doing something and you let them off, you know, that other teammate knows, you know, so you got to hold every kid accountable, like the saying, there's no one better. You know, there's not one person on a team that's better than anyone else, you know, and just like Jabril Peppers, you know, I held him accountable for every action he did, you know, no matter who was, you know, whether he was our best player, which he was, or, you know, our worst player. They all had the same, you know, discipline. They were all held to the same accountability.
Now, what do you think made Jabril, I mean, obviously, you know, he's blessed with he works his butt off, but with speed and athleticism, but what makes him such a difference maker? What was he willing to do that, you know, the average run-of-the-mill kid is not willing to do that makes him different?
He is a worker. The kid practiced like every practice was a game. Through high school, in college, through every – I mean, it's the same thing that makes Rashawn Gary Rashawn Gary. I mean, he goes 110 miles per hour at all times. They love the game of football, whether it's practice or a game. They enjoy being here. They enjoy being around the team. They enjoy getting better, you know. And Jabril is he's so bright. He's so smart. He can take on so many different roles. You know, he plays offense, defense, special teams, and he studies it, and he understands it. And he doesn't understand you know, what he's doing. I mean, he's playing so many different positions for us at Michigan, and, you know, as a safety, he could tell you what the front is supposed to do. You know, he just loves, he's a passion and loves football. You know, I don't know how many kids, you know, truly love playing football, you know, nowadays. You know, Jabril's a guy who truly loves playing the game of football. And no matter whether it's a practice, no matter when it's a workout, you know, no matter whether it's, you know, whatever it is, a meeting, he enjoys it. He loves the game. So I think that's really what makes him who he is, and why he's going to be successful. You know, he's going to go and be successful in the NFL because he's never going to want to do anything to give it up or not be the best. He loves playing.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that could end up going, who knows how high, but he could end up being top 10. He's definitely going to be in the first two rounds, you know, as long as he stays healthy and keeps performing well in training, which I'm sure he will. I always thought one of the things that I tell this to kids all the time, you know, I used to say about LeBron James that, you know, even though he was a basketball player, he played football. The reason he didn't play his senior year was because he had actually hurt himself in basketball in the summertime and had an injury. So, but with Jabril Peppers, you know, he ran track. He was a state 100-meter champ. And you see so many kids that will give up other things in high school at the expense of football. Jabril loved football. No one loved football more than he did, but he knew that track will help him be a better football player. He enjoyed competing. You know, what are some of the things that, you know, you really look for in a player? Is you looking for someone that wants to compete, you know, to become a Michigan guy? What kind of player is that?
You know, I love guys that play a ton of sports, to be honest. I mean, it's kind of, as a staff, we like that, you know. So it's like, yeah, you're going to be a great football player. You're going to get on the basketball court and be a great basketball player. You're going to run track. You know, you might play baseball. You might be a great baseball player. You know, I love guys that are out there, you know, just competing in anything, you know, and not quitting all the other sports because, you know, they want to be just a football player. And that's fine, too, you know, as long as you're training and competing. But, you know, I love the multi-sport guys. I mean, I think we look at that, and I look highly on those guys. And, you know, so I think that's important. You know, and I think guys that just like – you got to try to find out if they really love football or do they love Twitter, you know, or do they love, you know, recording, you know, 30 offers, you know, or do they love playing the game, you know, do they love their size because they're 6'6", 240 pounds and can run a 4.8, you know, and everyone looks at them and loves them, and or do they love getting on the football field and playing the game and working and being part of a team? You know, those are the guys that we look for, you know, the guys that are, you know, just love everything about it, you know, and are willing to put in the work for it. You know, I mean, the bottom line is the recruiting process, you know, that thing, you know, it's like you get recruited by all these schools and you're loved up. But when you step on campus, there's not a college in America that's successful that isn't a whole lot of work, you know, that isn't going to make you, you know, think about why you play the game. You know, it's work to be successful. You know, it's you know, you're training, you're going to classes, and you're going to study hall, you know, or going to academic services, and you know, it's a full-time job for these guys. So you got to get the ones that truly love it, and those are the ones that are successful.
How do you identify that? Because today, I mean, obviously, you know, it's different than when we played. There was no Twitter, there was no Facebook. You know, I couldn't shoot myself live while I'm talking to you. What is it that how do you decipher through the kid that just wants to post? Because that drives me crazy. Like, I don't need to know every single offer you have. I get it. You got 10 offers. You know what I mean? Once you get to a certain point, you're one of the top guys in the country. You don't have to tell everybody every single time. You know, and I think even on the player side, it's fake when a player goes and says, you know, God bless, I got my 30th offer from Michigan or Virginia Tech or wherever. You know, be real. Like, are you about playing the game or are you about being the best? I'd rather see you training in your videos than posting every time you get a college on there. How do you decipher through all that to find the guys that are Michigan guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can't you can't knock guys out that tweet and say that, because it's just a product of who they are now as kids, right? So, you know, whether they're posting and then they're hyping themselves up, you can't say, well, that's not a kid we want, right? Because you don't know. You know, that's just kind of how they all do it at this point. But I think the main deal is you got to listen. You got to listen to the high school coaches. You got to listen to the player. You got to listen to the parents and let them talk. You know, it's so funny. I mean, at Paramus Catholic, I'd sit in there and, you know, a college coach would come in to talk to one of the players, and they literally would talk for 20 straight minutes and not say a word. And then they'd walk out, and another guy would come in and he'd talk for 20 straight minutes, and the player would never say a word. And, you know, another guy would walk in and he'd talk for 5 minutes, and he'd ask questions, and he'd engage the players. And then you ask the player, well, who do you like? What schools did you like today? And they always say the guy that let them at least communicate, you know, that let them talk. You know, I feel like, you know, in recruiting, you got to find out who they are by allowing them to tell you who they are, you know, allowing them to communicate with you and actually talk to you, and not only just sell your school and talk to them and, you know, because you want to find out who they are. Because when they come onto your program, you know, when they're away from home and they step foot on here, you know, and they're homesick, and you know, you need to know why they're homesick, who they're missing, you know, what's their hot button, you know, who they are as a player. And you know, I don't think enough people do that. You know, so we just do it by, you know, I just talk to them. You know, I find out who they are as a person before I find out who they are as a player, and that allows you to understand who they are as a player. You know, it also makes it better when they step on campus here. You know how to coach them, and you know how to, you know, avoid the problems that you might have and all that stuff. So, you know, it's just I just think it's just being a person and talking and communicating and being a good communicator and a good listener.
Very, very interesting.
And you obviously talk to everyone around them. I mean, we do our homework now. You know, we talk to their coaches, to their guidance counselors, to their favorite teachers, you know, to their brothers, to their sisters, to mom, dad, to their teammates. You know, it's all about just getting to know everyone that's in their circle and around them.
How important is the high school coach to you in the process? Because obviously, you know, I run the camps and stuff, and I always tell kids all the time that the high school coach and having a great relationship with the high school coach is ultimately going to be the key, because the college coach is going to ask your high school coach what they think about you. And if that is a lukewarm response, or if it's not glowing, there's going to be question marks about you. And I think a lot of parents, and this will help, I guess, on the parent side and the kid side of things who end up listening to this, how important is that relationship with a high school coach to a college coach who is recruiting?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's extremely important. You know, there's a number of kids that, you know, we stopped recruiting because we didn't like the answers the high school coach was given. And it's not just like, you know, the coach doesn't have to badmouth a kid for us to get it, you know, to understand. But you know, it's well, why isn't he a captain? Or you know, shoot, I throw on film sometimes with the coach and say, hey, why did he loaf on these three plays? You know, what was the reaction? Why did he play like this? Why did he do this? Or, you know, well, we asked the high school coach a ton of questions. And, you know, most of those guys are honest because they don't want to put their name on, you know, on someone that's going to come and fail. And, you know, and you're going to be calling them all the time. And the kid's not a worker and, you know, and stuff. So, you know, the high school coach relationship is extremely important, you know, is working well with your coach, taking coaching, you know, working hard within the team. And, you know, we dig and ask questions to the coaches so that, you know, we can find out the right answers. So I think, you know, it's everything. I mean, it's one of the biggest things for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Your transition to high school and college is, I would say, is unique. You know, probably every high school coach, head coach in the country has aspirations of what you were able to successfully do. Obviously, you're still building your career. You're a young guy. How do coaches transition from being a high school coach to going to college? And what are some of the key things that they have to do in order to, if they want to, go and transition into that next phase?
I think, you know, the biggest thing is well, you have to understand the game of football first and foremost, right? I mean, you gotta understand, you know, you gotta love football, right? You gotta love the game, you know, and you gotta love teaching young men the game. You know, that's the easiest answer. If you don't love that, and if you just want to do it just like the kids, just to try to jump in, and you're not willing to get in and understand that the ins and outs of coaching, you know, it's not for you. But, you know, the main thing I think is just your humbleness and your work ethic and, you know, what you're willing to do. I mean, shoot, I got here and, you know, as kind of a recruiting assistant and, you know, it was like, you know, I didn't care. Any job, there's no job too small, you know, and it's to this point too. I mean, there's just no job too small as a college coach. And, you know, you just got to be humble and be willing to learn. You know, I was, you know, I'm like a sponge for everyone, you know, and trying to learn as much as possible. You know, I had the special teams coordinator from Bowling Green here yesterday, and we sat all day, you know, and I learned a tremendous amount from him, you know, just listening to him talk and stuff. So I think, you know, your humbleness to be willing to learn, and then, you know, your work effort, you know, your willingness to put in, a ton of work. You know, my first year here, I mean, there wasn't a day in the first 6 months where I didn't, you know, work 18 hours, you know, on any little thing that I can do. You know, whether it was sitting in with any of the coaches to learn or try to figure out recruiting, or shoot, if they asked me to clean the garbage, you know, out of the trash can, I would jump up and make sure I did it the better than anyone else. You know, I wanted to do every job better than anyone else could do it. That was my mindset. You know, any job, any task I was given, I wanted it to be the best task that's ever been done. You know, and it's like, you know, I go to bed thinking about it. I wake up thinking about it, you know, and I just try to do everything to the best of my ability. And I try to take on more, you know, I try to take on as much as I can. You know, it's like, I want more. I don't care what the job is. I want more responsibility and more responsibility. You know, those are all the things that kind of in my mind that I try to do. And, you know, I think that's kind of how it has to be to make the jump. Is like, you know, you got to be willing to learn as much as you can and want to take as much as you can, more and more and more.
No doubt about it. I think that people who coach in high school don't realize that when you go to college, when you first start out, it's just like starting out all over, just like you did as an assistant, or when you were a player, you're the top guy in high school. You go back, you go to college, and you're now at the bottom. You got to start all over again and be willing to constantly rise to the top and do whatever it takes to do that. What was the connection between you and Coach Harbaugh? What makes that relationship so special? Because I saw it at the camp you guys ran at Paramus Catholic last year, and I could see that level of trust that he has for you and what you do. Tell me about that relationship and what makes it so special.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what makes it so special. I just, for me, it's like I believe in everything he says and does. Like, he's pure. I mean, he's trustworthy. He doesn't lie to the players. He works his butt off. You know, he's a guy that you can look up to and say, you know, he's a guy that you feel comfortable of. You know, if you're putting in, you know, 7 days a week of 18 to 20 hours, you know, to look over and know that the head coach is working just as hard. You know, that's who he is. You know, to know that if he's telling you something, or that he's telling one of the players something, that it's the truth. You know, to have an open line of communication. You know, I feel like he's the best coach in the country, you know, for these players. You know, it's just, you know, he's there for them, and you know, it's kind of what you aspire to do and be, and he's there for the staff, and then he's not, you know, he's a worker, so he's not, like, if you know, I go to him and I say, hey, I want more responsibility, I need to do more. You know, my first year, I was like, you know, give me more, I want to do more, and he's going to give you more. You know, he's gonna let you come up with ideas and run with them, and, you know, and let you coach, you know, and, you know, I just think he's a tremendous person to work for, and, you know, everything that I've done, for him from day one. I've tried to do it better than anyone else has ever done it, and take on more responsibilities. And, you know, I've been successful doing it. So I think he has a trust for me. And, you know, of course, I always look out for his back, you know, and he's the program. And, you know, I'm going to make sure that, you know, kind of have his back and stuff like that. So, you know, the relationship is great and continuing to grow. And, you know, and, you know, I just try to do anything he asks of me, and I believe in what he's doing, you know, and I think those are two really important things.
Yeah, and, I get the impression that you'll be willing to get in and sleep at somebody's house if you need to as well, or pick up a bed. I love the great stories I hear, about the recruiting. And I say, you know, it's so funny because in the space that I am around high school coaches, around parents all the time, and I listen to them, and I listen to, you know, when people criticize, and then when also people say things positively. And when I listen to what you did at Paramus Catholic and how you were different, you build things differently, and how Coach Harbaugh does things his way and builds things differently, I always think to myself that when a guy has an ability to not worry about what the outside world is saying and focus on their task, focus on what they think will help them be successful, I think it allows them greater levels of success than anybody could ever imagine. I think people gravitate towards that. And it's one of the things that I would say the pundits miss, those kind of things. Like, I love when I see someone who does things the way that he thinks and his program thinks should be successful. And that's something I think that, you know, obviously did at Prem's Catholic, and Harbaugh does it at Michigan. And I love it because I laugh when guys go, well, he pissed off so-and-so. Well, you know, if I'm trying to be the best, you know what? Not everybody's going to love me. That's how it's going to be, you know? Like, there are people that are rooting for me, and those are the people closest to me, and there are people that are rooting against me. And sometimes people closest to me turn on me, and I always think, who cares? My goal is to be successful and to figure out how I can do that. Your goal at Paramus Catholic is to help those kids be successful. I always say, if you help those kids be successful, ultimately you become successful. And kids, you know, sometimes parents don't always see it, but kids know you can't fool the kids. They know someone cares about them. You know, my father's coached track for, I don't know, 50 years now, and he was one of my first – I think he might have been my first interview in this. And the first thing he said to me was just critical. I said, you know, what do you think has been the foundation for what makes you successful? He says, caring. And I said, okay, well, you know, I started kind of prodding. He said, caring. I said, well, you know, and he's known as, you know, track. People will think he's a maniac, and, you know, but – he cares about the kids, just like you care about the kids, and Harbaugh cares about the kids, is willing to do whatever it takes to help those kids. And that caring, people don't realize that underlying caring is the difference, because they'll go through the wall. They're young, and they can decipher the difference between someone who cares. I always laugh when I see a guy who might have some success, but the players don't gravitate towards him. And I know it's one thing. I know that guy doesn't care about the kids. He cares about himself. Mm-hmm. And the guy, sometimes the people are like, hey, you know, why did you do this? But yet he's winning, and all the kids gravitate toward him. It's because the kids know he cares.
Of course.
I see it in what you do, and that's what I think is a difference maker about you.
I think that's 100. I mean, that's tremendous. But I mean, that's spot on with that. I mean, it's like, you know, it's not about what other people are saying. It's about what the kids in your program are saying. And it's funny. I mean, people will talk and, you know, and spit a ton of venom and, you know, and say whatever they want. But ultimately, you know, you think about it like this. Okay, well, you know, I have every player that's ever played for me at my back. Who do you have at your back? You know, when you're talking smack, or, you know what I'm saying? So you got to kind of look at it like that. And, you know, and of course, you know, I always will put the kids, you know, ahead of myself, and I will always put you know, the parents, the families ahead of myself of the kids that are playing for me. And Jim Harbaugh is the same exact way. You know, he's always going to put the team ahead of himself, and it doesn't matter what other people are saying, because you know what you're doing for your guys is great. And that's the bottom line.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time now with me. I do want, kids been while I've been on this Periscope Live, they've been writing messages over and over again. How do they get film in front of you? What would you say? Because obviously so much misinformation, right? I'm sure you're inundated with huddle links all day long, and you want more information than just the huddle link. What if someone was to get in touch with you, a player or a parent, to get their film in front of you? What information do you need in front of you to want to look at their link? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing is, we're going to look at the link. You know, anyone that emails, the recruiting department, we make sure that we vet it all, and we're going to look at it. But I think the best thing is, because, you do get inundated and, you get a million people sending, Twitter messages and emails, it's just easy information. So name, school, cell number, mom, dad name, cell number. Obviously you're going to have the email if they send you an email, the link and attach a transcript, and then we can take it from there.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Keep it simple, keep it sweet, send it, and then we'll make sure we get it looked at for, because the bottom line too is, even if we like the tape, with the transcript, well, before we do anything, we're going to get that transcript. So, high school coach's cell number would be important. I mean, that's, for us, that's easy to, once we know the school, we have all the high school coach's number, but might as well put it in there, just so it's easier, and we'll make sure we get it looked at.
Cool. Listen, I really appreciate you coming on, taking the time out of your day. And this is the truth. I mean, I sat back when you rose Paramus Catholic, and I just thought, this guy's got something. And obviously I remembered you from when you recruited at the Citadel, but I thought, this guy's got something special, and this guy is really, really doing something that is just amazing at Paramus Catholic. And then obviously when you're at Michigan, you're doing some amazing things there. And I love how you think differently. Don't ever lose that ability to think differently and think outside the box and getting after it. And I just tell you, I have great respect for what you've done and what you're doing. I think it's magical. I really, I say it, and I always say that so many high school coaches want to do what you've been able to do successfully. And obviously you're at the beginning of your career, but, the determination and tenacity and the willingness, to do what is necessary to be successful. I think you have that over, virtually anybody else, and it's to be commended.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, man. I mean, the bottom line is, it's all about, in this business, and in what we do, it's all about, what you do next, so you got to keep working, and you got to keep staying humble, and you got to keep getting better, or else nothing in the past means anything. So, it's important. So I'm going to keep working, and I appreciate you having me on. And, anything I can do, let me know.
Coach, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. And obviously, we'll keep talking. We'll talk real soon. Hopefully to the next time, I'll see you real soon in New Jersey this summer. So,
okay.
Have a great day.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, man.
Bye. All right. That was Chris Partridge, the special teams coordinator in Michigan, tremendous high school coach, on the podcast Successful Life. I think he really summarized some amazing things. I think his dedication to his players is amazing. Interestingly enough, I didn't touch on this, but he played for Kevin. He knows Kevin Higgins from Lehigh, who actually recruited me when I was coming out of college. Lehigh was one of the schools I was considering because of Kevin. I think, his willingness to put his players before everything, and and really developing them and changing the culture and being able to adapt was tremendous. Listening to what his recruits, the kids that he's recruiting, what they have to say, learning about their personality, I think is fantastic. We didn't break down X's and O's because I was so intrigued with what he has done and obviously the top players that he's had. But building that belief and that trust within people that you're going to do what you're going to say you're going to do and be successful is second to none. So that was my interview with Chris Partridge, Michigan linebacker, special teams coordinator. Fantastic interview. Anyone should definitely take a listen to that. I'll put it on the podcast, and The Successful Life will be on iTunes. You check it out. Definitely take a look at it, and we'll see you all soon.